You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
And a very pleasant Tuesday morning to one and all within the sound of our voices, breaking Boston for June 6, 2023. It's Fitzy, it's Hart, and it's you and your fresh cup of sports to start the day. Don't have time for a full sports radio show? In 15 to 20 minutes, we got you covered. Feeding the Boston sports superfan. And today, it is the latest round of OTAs, oats spelled differently, organized team activities back in Foxborough, media allowed, good vibes are rolling. In fact, people are so optimistic about the Patriots now, part of you can't help but wonder if this is not sort of excessive, not managed, but excessive optimism in the face of failures and dysfunction within the other organizations. We were promised possibly one, if not two, duck boat parades. We received none. We didn't even see a championship round appearance for either the Celtics or the Bruins. The Red Sox are in total turnaround again. Losers of 7 of their last 10, 30-30. And for some reason, that 500 record feels almost like it's a veneer because there's issues galore with your home team as they make their way just past the one-third mark of the season. However, the Patriots, people are feeling good about. We got vibes, like you said last week, Andy. People seem to think that there's a general sense of professionalism, that they're organized, they're doing things the right way. This is how it's supposed to go. But in the face of last year's dysfunction and ineptitude, now we turn things around, and the Six Rings guys are here to tell you that there's reason to be excited, except do we feel like almost now that there's too much optimism, that there's too much excitement, or at least that people are making too much of the littlest things? Poor A. Hemplo. Albert Breer does his Sports Illustrated Monday morning quarterback thing, and there are two particular nuggets which we will address today on the Six Ring Style Breaking Boston. Number one being Mac Jones speaking exclusively to Bill O'Brien, offense running through Mac and Bill. And Bill Belichick is delegating everything to Bill O'Brien to tell to Mac Jones. And people are like, oh my God, that's amazing. Bill O'Brien is such a commanding presence. He's taken over the entire offense. Look at this. Mac is so happy. This just in, everyone. That's how it's supposed to go.
Yeah. Whatever the comparison is, whether it's the Patriots being compared to themselves, to a crappily run football team, to the failures of the organizations in town, as you mentioned, or the disappointments, relative failures, I guess we should say, because they were, you know, setting records and getting into the playoffs and being favorites for titles until they weren't, until the wheels fell off. But whatever that is has created this atmosphere where small victories, small accomplishments, small positive nuggets are just embraced wholeheartedly for the Patriots. And the first is the best example, the Bill O'Brien thing. So Breer writes, oh, he's delegating to Bill O'Brien, Bill Belichick. Yeah, what did you expect? We've talked about this for, it's got to be going on 6 months now. When we first, before he was even working for the Patriots, and we said, the perfect guy would be Bill O'Brien, so you can just turn the offense over to Bill O'Brien. He brings competency, experience, knowledge, comfort, whatever good words, good adjectives you want to use, whatever words you wouldn't use to describe Matt Patricia and last year's offense, those are the words that Bill O'Brien brings. And it would be crazy, alarming, stunning, report, newsworthy if it weren't that. If we were out there and it was like Bill O'Brien was kind of behind the whole huddle and Bill Belichick's up like barking at Mac Jones, holding the call sheet, then we'd be like, wait a minute, we did this last year, it didn't work, why'd you hire that guy?
Yeah, why'd you spend all this money on this guy and make a dog and pony show, a Tuesday night press release about we're going to actually pursue an official offensive coordinator?
So, and I'm not, this is not a critique of Breer. Breer is just reporting what he sees, and he should be. It was the reaction to it that I heard, like, such a positive, almost surprised or I don't even know what the word would be, but it, you know, hell, we've talked even deeper about this, you and I, Fitzy, not just with Bill O'Brien, but the idea that we think Bill is going to delegate in all three phases of the team because Joe Judge and Cam Accord are on special teams, because Gerard Mayo and Steve Belichick are on defense. He can delegate to everybody. Hell, we think he delegated significantly during the spring to Matt Groh and his staff, and that Bill can just pick his spots, be 71 years old, bring the experience where the experience is needed, coach a specific play, player, situation, whatever he so chooses. So it is a positive. I don't want to say this isn't a positive that they've taken a step in the Bill O'Brien direction and brought the C word, competency, to their offense. But it is strange with how that tells you, I guess, how bad it was last year, how much this is being embraced and like the pot. Oh my God, he's delegating to a guy who actually for 20 years has coached offense. He's an expert. He has more than his 10,000 hours of knowledge. He brings everything we want to the table. The fact that it's been so positively embraced is interesting to me and tells you how bad it was a year ago and how left wanting you people were at the time.
There we are.
Yeah, I'd squeeze it in. Okay, it felt forced, but it felt necessary.
I was going to say, we're about 5.5 minutes into a Six Rings Breaking Boston crossover, not even 7 in the morning. And yes, you got your first you people out of it. Good. You know what? Get it out of your system before you go to OTAs today. And Andy will be there along with our guy, Mike Cadlick. So make sure you give him a follow at Jumbo Heart and at Mike Cadlick with a K for all the latest updates, videos, and analysis of what's going on in the field. You were the one, though, who forwarded the idea. You created and engineered this idea that I think your working hypothesis was in a column I read. It was Belichick is semi-retired now. Now, he is not. He's still just as involved, just as active as ever. But
is he?
I think so. Or at least we think so.
I read it. He's delegating.
Yes, he's delegating now. Exactly. And we should be excited because people with different ideas from last year are coming in. We did hear last year, halfway through the season, that Belichick got more involved with the offense and almost sort of had to take over play calling at times because things were so bad, because the offense had just become so lame. And there was
right when Mac started saying, yeah, shut the F up. Yeah. The F are you talking about?
Quick game. Effing sucks. F you. F this. F that.
It's weird. Bad. Bill was mad.
Bad from Jump Street. Whereas here we are, first week of June, we have reason to think it's going to be good. I think people are making too much of it, but for two things. One, again, going back to the idea that there really isn't a lot else to pin your hope to now that the Celtics underwhelmed and failed in the Eastern Conference Finals, and that the Bruins massively underwhelmed and got bumped in the first freaking round in Game 7 of overtime. Little note or nugget for everybody. The Florida Panthers are now down 2-0 to Bruce Cassidy's Vegas Golden Knights. They are looking like they have a firm grasp and control.
We get coaches like that.
I know. God, there's so much Bob Lobel going around these days. It's brutally painful for the Boston sports super fan. Any which way the result ends up, no matter, even if two teams that didn't have a connection to the Bruins were involved in the Stanley Cup Finals, there would be little to nothing but pain for the diehard Boston Bruins fan these days. But so it goes. I think that's one. And number two, the Patriots are going to always seem to have a judged against their own standard syndrome, if you will. Allow me to explain. So now we're judging the Patriots against last year because last year was so pathetic. We saw that Warren Sharp stat from last week where, 102 of their drives ended in turnovers or punts, and that was sixth worst in the NFL. Like, quick, that side was note, really bad.
You know I'm not a huge analytics guy. Or
PFF, EPA, yeah. DVOA. That doesn't lie.
And he's put out a million of those. Just, it's NFL teams from a year ago where they rank in whatever. And he just lists them. He puts the numbers. And then you scroll down and you're like, Where's NE?
It was like, one of these new mega tweets you're allowed to compose that was like,
you have to click more?
The length.
You guys didn't make it to above the fold. Like, you're in the more segment.
Above the fold, you made page 3.
And it's so amazing how many of those he's put out, which we all knew. Like, we knew the offense sucked. But he adds numbers to say, yeah, it really sucked worse than I thought it sucked.
Yes. The level of suckitude that the Patriots offense last year was able to achieve was damn near historic. And so, yeah, they had to, last year, seventh worst offense in terms of drives that ended in turnovers, fourth down, and punts, 102 times. The number one team, the most efficient offense last year was the Detroit Lions, believe it or not. They had almost half as many drives. And
imagine if you took out that Patriots game where they sucked.
I know. Imagine that as well. And you still can't convince me. You still can't convince me that with Joe Judge and Matt Patricia calling the show last year and their disdain or their disdain for or frustration with Mac Jones, that they didn't call better games for Bailey Zappi. We may never know the direct answers to why those games look better. I'm still going to go to my grave, hopefully no time soon, thinking that Judge and Patricia showed favoritism in terms of play calling to Zappi over Mac. That's how bad it was last year.
That is how bad it was, but that's also what's created this comparison that you just talked about for everything they do is going to be embraced. I mean, Mac Jones throws to Tyquan Thornton, and it's immediately on the Twitter feed for the Patriots.
Oh,
and
look at this
then
pass.
Immediately I'm reading about, you know, these lists where Tyquan Thornton is going to be one of the breakout receivers in the National Football League, one of the breakout players. Like,
because of a slow-mo play against Miles Bryant.
Exactly. Against Miles Bryant. Everybody is like, wait a minute. I didn't know that was Miles Bryant. I look at it differently now that I know it's Miles Bryant. But that's where I do think people want to embrace the idea that Mac Jones can get back to Mac from his rookie year, that Bill O'Brien is a real offensive coordinator, that this offense can't possibly be as bad as what we saw a year ago. Now, I will say there are some who are still slow because I posted a column yesterday about this idea that maybe the Patriots suddenly have snuck into the most hopeful Boston sports team role. Got negative comments.
I was going to say we should scroll through scroll through and see the comments, because of course, there it is. Wait, did the Patriots just become the most hopeful team in Boston? And here we go. Not with Mac at quarterback. No. Next question. No, not with that whiner at quarterback. Just today, have you forgotten about the Celtics, bro? What are we doing here? Oh my God. Like, it's just what, and there's still like, what is Mac Jones going to have to do to shake this rep he's got in town now? It's like 50-50 people that think he's going to have a great third season, or at least a bounce back and professional level, if not excellent season. And then 50% get him out of here. Get him out.
What? I think it's a higher percentage that's get him out. I think there's a negative. And the one thing that
he's operating in deficit to start the season.
It certainly feels that way. The one thing that I will say seems to sway people's belief, and this is the second thing tied into this offseason we're in, is there are people that believe, well, get D-Hop and maybe we'll talk kind of responses. Maybe give him D-Hop, see what D-Hop can do. Mm-hmm. And that was another aspect of Burt Breer's column that I think we need to touch on, is he says Bill O'Brien would be open to the idea of D-Hop coming.
Or is it fine with, or put up no fight, whatever.
Okay. I don't give a rat's ass.
No,
that wasn't
either.
The question. The question is D-Hop interested in playing for Billy O'Brien?
That's the important question.
Like, what are we doing here? I knew Bill O'Brien would take a receiver. He didn't hate him personally. He traded him away. He thought he made a terrible comparison where he brought up the word Aaron and Hernandez in anything other than a documentary about murders or Florida Gators football that'll be on Netflix in August. And now I need to know, what does D-Hop think? And maybe D-Hop is becoming more open to the idea as he sees less and less money on the open market. You have all these teams that are like, yeah, we would take D-Hop, but what did Bean say in Buffalo? Like, I think he's going to get a pretty decent contract, basically saying we don't have the decent contract to hand him right now.
Yeah, I think Chiefs and the Bills have basically been ruled out because words leaking out from Camp D-Hop now that he's had to hire an agent, that he is looking for a payday in the realm and or neighborhood of what OBJ got for Baltimore. Side note, I believe you and I both thought that when that contract got given out in April, it was just short of ludicrous. You know, he's coming off his second ACL, hasn't played football since February of the previous season, and his knee may explode, you know, like an Elon Musk rocket.
Yeah, and I actually think D-Hop, you can argue, is worth more money now just because over the second half of last season, how productive he was and showed what he had left, regardless of separation or whatever his physical tools. Dude can get open and catch the football. He showed that with no quarterback play. So his value, I can see him internally saying, I'm worth more than that guy. That guy hasn't played. That guy hasn't been good in 5 years.
Such a bad
I was good
deal.
Five
Such
months
a bad
ago.
Contract.
But I don't think he's getting that contract from the Patriots. And more importantly, I don't know what he thinks personally of Bill O'Brien. Like everybody was judging it on that video he did a while back where he just did like facial reactions to.
All right, D-Hop, I'm going to need you to show me just with facial reaction only, which quarterback you want to play with or how you feel about going to this organization. And whenever they made the Patriots, he kind of did one of those sitcom style, like, I don't know about fish for
he
dinner
gave
again.
Face that says, for $20 million, I'd do it, but I'm not really that interested. That was the face that he gave.
An easier path to the championship maybe in Buffalo and Kansas City. Well, D-Hop, they don't have that much money.
Right. But so this whole another like again, like because Bill O'Brien would take him, is that supposed to imply like the Patriots are really close to getting him? This desire for positivity is creating these strange reactions to reports that are fine. Like I'm not ripping the report. I like news, I like nuggets, I like information about the Patriots, but I don't really think it means anything if Bill O'Brien would take him. It's would D-Hop join Bill O'Brien? Does he want to, especially if it's Bill O'Brien's offense? It's his world. He's the CEO of the Patriots offense. It's not like, no, I'm just going to go there and I'm only going to answer to Belichick. No, it's Bill O'Brien's offense. So if you go there, you're working very closely with a guy who I don't know if you hate him or not. I don't think you do. I think that was probably overblown at this point. I think it's probably some water under the bridge.
I think even Hopkins has said as much that it's not as big a deal as other people say, because he went to Arizona and got paid.
It's not about that. It's about the money at this point. Right. And that's the biggest. And maybe if nobody has money, but again, if nobody has money, let's just go down that road. If nobody has money,
all right,
then now he goes to Buffalo or Kansas City, where at least I can win. Or maybe I can, you know, get a national ad campaign that'll help augment my pay because I'm playing on one of the two teams expected to win the AFC. So I don't know. I don't really understand the D-Hop thing and the people that are holding on hope to D-Hop coming to New England.
Yeah, let's see the teams right now that have the most salary cap space. The Patriots are, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Like they're 12th or 13th overall with about $14.5 million. The other team that has been mentioned as a possible Hopkins suitor that have been emerging recently would be the Brownies, and that's because of the Deshaun Watson DeAndre Hopkins connection from their time playing together in Houston under Bill O'Brien. Okay. I guess that would make sense. They could probably use another quality receiver to pair up with Amari Cooper. You know, Jarvis Landry is not walking through that door anytime soon. They got a bunch of twos and threes there as well. And far be it from them to ever make a controversial move as well. They have just as competitive a division this year with the Super Bowl favorite Cincinnati Bengals, a tougher than advertised Pittsburgh Steelers team, and a Ravens team that also might be interested in adding Hopkins to their wide receiver room. That has improved drastically with hopefully healthy Rashad Bateman, Zay Flowers drafted this year, and now Odell Beckham Jr. I have wanted Hopkins all along. The wide receiver room, as it's shaping up for the Patriots, is it's like two different categories. It's the veterans on a prove it slash redemption tour in Kendrick Bourne, Devontae Parker. You've got then a bunch of other guys that have done nothing basically. You got all these six-round rookies, undrafted, free agents. You got Tyquan Thornton, who's now a breakout candidate, according to NFL media. DeAndre Hopkins coming in would represent like a clear top of the food chain. Like he would just zip right to the top. And I know he'd be a couple months behind, but he's familiar-ish enough with what Bill O'Brien has orchestrated as an offensive coordinator previously. I don't think it would be a long learning curve for him to come in and turn heads come camp time in late July, Andy.
No, I think if you can figure out how to get him here, it's great. I'm not going to say it's perfect because he's not 24 in the prime of his career, but he immediately is, as you said, the most proven. You can put the highest expectations on him, whatever you want to call it. The guy gets open and catches the football in his NFL career. Now, there's the other baggage, which is legitimate. He's not a big practice guy. He's not a big structure guy. Like
wrong side of 30.
He's on the wrong side of 30. You know, there are some negatives to it, but he immediately becomes the surest thing you have of going out there on Sundays, catching the football and getting open when Mac needs him and giving you a competitive matchup against whoever he goes against. But I mean, I don't know why you can't just be happy with what you have. Like, it's not perfect, nope. But you're also not the Cowboys. I saw the Cowboys were working out receivers because Antonio Callaway got arrested and he got cut. And one of the receivers they worked out was N'Keal Harry. It's not like you're working out N'Keal Harry and bringing N'Keal Harry
and
back.
And the Cowboys have more salary cap space right now than the Patriots. They have $20.5 million. There's another team that is expected to go to the playoffs. Maybe Hopkins, maybe they emerge as a dark horse. Like,
can
I don't
have a quarterback.
This is not a fate to complete. This is not just going to happen like in the next couple of days. I think given the fact that OTAs are happening and Hopkins is probably thinking, I don't really need to do that. I'll strap him on for camp in late July. I'll keep working out at my own pace right now, making sure I stay in playing shape-ish. I think this is going to be a little bit of a tour. Are the Patriots in the – as it should be, too. This is his last big contract. So are the Patriots in the mix? It seems so. Do we think it's likely? No, it's not a given. Would he improve their receiver room in the team overall? Hell yes, he would. This is the first half of a two-legger, as we like to call it, on Six Rings and Football Things, and it is also your morning cup of sports to start the day for the Boston sports super fan. If you head over to WEEI.com right now, you can read Mike Cadlick's 10 players to watch today at OTAs with other players reporting. What's going to be fun is when you get to the second half of this podcast, we'll have Andy's fresh takes and opinions on what he saw at OTAs today as well. So this is sort of like a before and after podcast for those that are in the Six Rings feed. Yes, Andy.
And our knowledge of the New England Patriots in the meaningful and or meaningless, depending on how you look at it, OTA shorts and t-shirts action is about to go through the roof because we have access to 5 of the next 8 days of the New England Patriots. OTA today. Another OTA on
Thursday, I believe.
Friday, because Bill Thursday, Belichick think, is an a-hole and always puts out a vague schedule. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of minicamp scheduled. Sometimes they cut the third day of minicamp and we're not out there. But over the next week, you essentially will get a ton of Patriots coverage from the OTA field.
How about that? How about that? How do you like it? Patriots will always be judged against their own standard, whether it is the standard of greatness. Once the flying Elvis came into the fold and then they went to 9 Super Bowls and won 6 of them during the Tom Brady era, or when they couldn't even advance the football past the 50 last year and were one of the worst offenses in recent NFL history. Mike Cadlick has guys to keep your eye on. Wide receiver Ed Lee, the 6-year senior from Rhode Island who just signed with the Patriots yesterday. Juju, Ty Montgomery, Pierre Strong, Gonzalez, Barmore, Malik, Taekwon, Marte Mapu and Mac Jones. Andy, I am going to have to get your spin on all of those once you go down to practice today.
Gonzalez, number one on the list. If you saw the photos from Patriots.com when the media wasn't there, he was making a catch that was a combination of Antonio Brown and the aforementioned OBJ.
There was airborneness, there was spinning, there was contorting.
Oh, I had to give him my O face.
Oh, you took it too far. All right, that's my cue to wrap this one up. Thank you for subscribing, rating, reviewing, listening to Breaking Boston. We try to help set the table and get you going on your day as a Boston diehard and super fan. If you're listening to this on the Six Rings and Football Things feed, and personally, I think you should be subscribing to both because they're excellent podcasts that are, we just need the awards to be able to call them award-winning. Stick around, don't go anywhere, because right now we'll be coming up with some reactions to OTAs today. Have a great one, everyone. Six Rings train keeps rolling.